Yes, folks, unfortunately for millions of socialists around the world, once again, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. We are listened to by more people on shortwave than any other shortwave radio program. That's now official from the experts, folks. And a lot of our listening audience is socialists. You see, they're masochists at heart, so they have to listen. They can't stand not being beaten up once in a while. We even have it on good authority that tapes of the Hour of the Time are regularly passed around amongst the higher-ups at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Tonight we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about some serious matters. We're going to talk about CADGY membership, the upcoming convention. We're going to talk about a lot of things that we're going to put on sale tonight, simply because we've got to come up with a lot of money really quick, and that's the best way we know how to do it. And some of you may remember the music that you're going to hear tonight. I just want to remind you, folks, those of you who say that blacks have never contributed anything to this country, you're wrong. They've contributed much more than their station allotted to them in life should have allowed them to contribute. And one spot in particular is the music field. Their music is 100% American. There's nothing African about it. It is 100% American. This group from which the music is taken tonight is Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Many of you out there fell in love listening to some of this music. And a lot of us in our youth didn't even know that they were black until we saw their picture on a record album. I loved them then, and I love them now. I don't. That's beautiful music, and I'm sure it brings back a lot of memories for a lot of you. It certainly does for me, and you're going to hear more of it. Well, folks, I'm going to read an article to you from the Saturday, June 4th, 1994, Arizona Republic. Bill concerns militias, not hunters. Just reinforces what I told you last night. Apparently, John S. Chip Keating is not familiar with the definition of the word militia as it was interpreted during the time of the writing of the Constitution. The whole body of able-bodied male citizens declared by law as being subject to call to military service. He has apparently not read the Federalist Papers or has completely disregarded the numerous paragraphs that are designed to allay the public fears of a despotic central government. I suggest reading Federalist Papers number 24 through number 34. Example, quote, "If the representatives of the people betray their constituents, there is then no resource left but in the exertion of that original right of self-defense, which is paramount to all positive forms of government," end quote, Federalist Papers, number 28, section 6. It may safely be received as an axiom in our political system that the state governments will, in all possible contingencies, afford complete security against the invasions of public liberty by the national authority. Federalist Papers, number 28, section 8. Keating's quotation of Warren Berger's statement in 1991 is expressing a Supreme Court justice's opinion after 205 years of distortion of the original meaning of the Second Amendment in United States versus Miller, 1939 Supreme Court decision, did uphold the ban on sawed-off shotguns because they are not the weapon of choice of the militia, and many of the militia carry sidearms. Now, you may think that he's ruling against the right to keep and bear arms, but in fact, this ruling reinforced the second article and amendment and establishes a Supreme Court ruling which says the weapon of choice of the militia is what the people should hold and carry. Keating says, "No federal court has ever struck down a statute regulating firearms despite numerous challenges over 200 years, and that's not true, folks. It has mainly been held in that manner simply because the Supreme Court refuses on most occasions to hear challenges to firearms regulations. You only have to go to recent newspapers for the hatchet job the federal court did on the Brady Bill to prove him wrong anyway on that one. The Second Amendment to the Constitution was not provided to protect the right to hunt birds or beasts, as the NRA would have you think, nor was it provided to allow the private citizen arms to protect themselves from criminals. It was provided for one reason only, folks, to provide us the ability to overthrow a despotic central government." And I quote from the legal document which established the foundation of this nation. Quote, "When a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security," end quote, Declaration of Independence, July 4, 1776. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention believe that since there are automatic registration and driver licensing laws, and since the fatal motor vehicle accident rate declined from 1968 to 1991, gun registration and gun owner licensing would reduce fatal firearm accidents. What rot. That view was shared by the British magazine The Economist. Quote, "Weapons deserve some scrutiny as cigarettes and car safety," end quote, Republic, April 3rd, which also advocated requiring manufacturers to design firearms according to federal guidelines. Good luck on that one. Auto registration and driver licensing laws were imposed between the two world wars, folks. Of course, and auto accident rates did not begin to decline until 1970. Let me say that again. Auto registration and driver licensing laws were imposed between the two world wars, and auto accident rates didn't begin to decline until 1970. The motor vehicle fatal accident rate declined only 37% from 1968 to 1991, and catch this, while the fatal firearms accident rate declined 50%, the greatest decline among all accident groups. Firearms folks are involved in 1.6% of fatal accidents, while motor vehicles account for 49%. You blithering Marxist socialist liberal pukes. Firearms are involved in 1.6% of fatal accidents, while motor vehicles account for 49%. You want to take my firearm while you drive around in your Mercedes Benz? No, thank you. No, thank you. I just simply won't allow it. The fatal accident rate for firearms is the lowest, ladies and gentlemen, in recorded history. The lowest in recorded history, down 85% since 1904. Since 1930, despite a doubling in the nation's population and a quadrupling in the number of privately owned firearms, the annual number of fatal firearms accidents has dropped 56%. Among children, accidents have dropped 65% since 1975. The Economist thinks America's 20,000 firearm laws are so few that it's no use enforcing them. We disagree. America's crime problem is linked solely to the liberal, socialist, Marxist, plea bargaining, probation granting, and early release politics of the nation's criminal justice system, and read that just us. There's no justice in it. We have the laws, ladies and gentlemen. They just aren't being enforced. Thanks to these crying in their beer liberals who think that the criminals are being mistreated. The Economist was wrong on another point. Also, the militia are the American people themselves, the whole body of the people. As Title 10, Section 311 of the United States Code states, and the Supreme Court, rather than holding against the right of individuals to possess firearms, recognized that right in U.S. versus Miller, 1939, and United States versus Verdugo, Arquidez, 1990. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Maybe if you smoke that, you Marxist traitors, maybe we can get you off your marijuana high or whatever else you're smoking long enough to confront reality. What do you think? Think that's possible? And I was right on something else, folks. In the Arizona Republic, Tuesday, June 7th, 1994, Arkansas's Trail of Tears demands immediate scrutiny. I told you there's 28 people close to or connected very closely business-wise with Clinton who are all now dead in their graves. And the Arizona Republic, one of the few newspapers in this country brave enough to publish at least some of this, has done so. Arkansas's Trail of Tears demands immediate scrutiny. And they're not talking about the march west of the Cherokee Nation. This is an article by DeRoy Murdoch. Early in the morning on May 12th, Kathy Ferguson, 37, was found dead in Sherwood, Arkansas. A gunshot had pierced her right temple in what police believe was a suicide. Isn't it funny how so many people around Bill Clinton commit suicide? He must have the worst case of body odor and halitosis in history. Still, he says, the timing of Ferguson's apparent suicide is intriguing. Coming just 6 days after her ex-husband, Arkansas State Trooper Danny Ferguson was named as a co-defendant in Paula Corbin Jones's sexual harassment lawsuit against President Bill Clinton. While Danny and Kathy Ferguson were divorced the year before the alleged Clinton-Jones incident, no one will ever know now what she may have learned from her husband about that day. You see, Kathy Ferguson is just the latest victim on Arkansas's Trail of Tears. An apparent pattern of violence and intimidation has befallen a number of men and women with ties to Bill and Hillary Clinton, their partners in business, law, and politics, and people investigating their affairs. These frightening events demand immediate scrutiny by the media, Special Prosecutor Robert Fisk, and Congress. But since Robert Fisk is a well-known friend of Bill and Hillary Clinton, the Billaries, what do you think the odds are that Fisk is going to do any serious investigating? And yet another strange death. The Northern Virginia Sun reported on April 21st that John Parnell Walker, 33, leapt off the Lincoln Towers in Arlington, Virginia, last August 15th and plunged 22 floors to the ground. Walker worked for the Resolution Trust Corp's Office of Investigations in March 1992, according to an RTC chronology. Senior Investigative Specialist John Walker contacted the Kansas City Regional RTC office regarding an article that had appeared in the New York Times stating possibilities between Whitewater Development, Madison Guarantee Savings and Loan, and Billary. Getting too close to a bimbo eruption, folks, can be bad for one's health. Just ask attorney Gary Johnson. You see, in a videotape titled Bill Clinton's Circle of Power, Johnson claims that his home security system captured then-Governor Clinton entering the apartment of his neighbor at Little Rock's Quapaw Towers, and his neighbor's name is Jennifer Flowers. Johnson says that he mentioned this tape to friends at Little Rock's Flaming Arrow Club on June 26, 1992, 3 weeks before Bill Clinton was nominated. Johnson was then attacked by three men who demanded his tape. He said they looked like state troopers. Johnson was beaten unconscious and left for dead. Now, according to articles in the May 7th issue of the esteemed British magazine The Economist and the May 8th London Sunday Telegraph, Dennis Patrick, a former Kentucky court clerk, became involved in a brokerage account with Lassiter & Company, a Little Rock bond dealership. Now, although Patrick never authorized the account, it earned risk-free weekly profits of up to $20,000. When Patrick eventually refused to sign paperwork associated with this easy money, Lassiter & Company sued him. As The Economist reported, he told attorneys that trades in his account had from time to time exceeded $12 million. But Mr. Patrick, you see, had other distractions. The Economist continued, within 1 year, four men were arrested by agents of the Treasury Department's Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF division on charges relating to plots to kill him. Lassiter & Company was owned by Dan Lassiter, a longtime friend of Billary, Bill and Hillary, an employer of Roger Clinton. And in 1986, Bill Clinton called Lassiter a substantial contributor and supporter. Now, remember, I revealed to you in a previous program of the Hour of the Time that Lassiter was convicted of social distribution of cocaine in 1986 and served 6 months of his 2.5-year prison sentence. And in 1990, he was pardoned by Bill Clinton. While in jail, Lassiter's affairs were managed by his executive vice president, Patsy Thomas, and one-time head of the Arkansas Democratic Party. According to Ambrose Evans Pritchard's report in the Telegraph, Thomason was in charge of operations and was viewed by the rest of the staff as the main liaison between Lassiter & Company and the Little Rock political establishment. Thomason, folks, now is the director of the White House Office of Administration. She was one of three White House staffers who entered Vincent Foster's office barely 3 hours after his death, seeking documents on the Clintons' Arkansas business dealings. How about that? On April 23rd, Terry Reed was at a Little Rock Walmart signing copies of Compromise, his book. compromised, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA. The book he co-authored with Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist John Cummings. The authors claim, and I could substantiate that from my own research, that in the 1980s, then-Governor Bill Clinton was involved in the CIA's efforts to supply the Contras, arms for drugs, for money, for arms, for drugs, for money, and around and around and around it goes. More than $9 million a week in cash was secretly airdropped into Arkansas, which became the CIA's domestic banana republic. Reed and Cummings charge. My research backs it up. And the headquarters of this operation was at a small airstrip in the little town of Mena, Arkansas. According to Little Rock Police Information, report number 94-53155, Reed returned to his car and found that a death threat was slipped through the top of his driver's side window and was on the seat of his car. The threat was a collage in which cutout pictures of seven pistols were affixed around a man's head on the cover of the April 18th issue of Time magazine. In ransom note style, words and letters clipped from other periodicals spelled out, "Stay out of the federal court next month or you die. It is all over for you and for your children if you press ahead. Hint, grab your passport." The threat referred to Reed's pending civil rights suit against then-Governor Clinton's head of security, Buddy Young, and former Arkansas State Trooper Tommy Baker. The police report adds that subject feels that the threat to his life is to be taken seriously. Subject was also advised that he may consider contacting federal agencies for protection. Ha ha. Fat chance. And yes, he'd better take it seriously, considering the 28 others who already lie dead in their graves. Are these episodes related to each other, or to the death of Vincent Foster and the concussion sustained by reporter L.J. Davis while on assignment in Little Rock? Do the three break-ins at the American Spectator as it prepared its Troopergate story, the fire at the Little Rock offices of Pearl Marwick, which audited Madison Savings and Loan, and the mysterious shooting death of Clinton campaign headquarters security chief Luther Jerry Parks have anything to do with all of this? What do you think, folks? Investigations by the press. Robert Fisk and the Congress will reveal whether these phenomena are connected or as random as rain. Such probes should begin now before the Arkansas Trail of Tears grows any darker. And I wouldn't depend upon Robert Fisk, folks, for he's as connected to Bill and Hillary Clinton as a Siamese twin is connected. So, what do you think about that? Been getting calls today and last night. One person called and says, "Oh, no, you're wrong. You're going to get a lot of people in trouble. Only the governor can call up the militia." Bullshit. You're a poor little sheeple who's lost his way. It just ain't true, my friend. The militia consists of all of the people. The militia is what caused the revolution against King George. It is the militia that mustered and fought the Civil War. And it was the militia that has done a lot of other things in this country. One person sent me an extensive fax saying, no. Oh, the militia and the law belongs to the militia of Washington, D.C. And that ain't true either, folks. The militia consists of the whole of the people, responsible first to their state. Can be called up by the federal government, actually by the Union, not the federal government, but the Union, to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion only. In his facts, he said, they'll call you up and send you all over the world to fight somewhere. Well, I proved to you last night, folks, they can't do that. The National Guard is not the militia. The military is not the militia. The militia cannot be sent outside the country to fight anywhere. The militia can only be called up to execute the laws of the Union, to suppress insurrection and to repel invasion. Read your Constitution. Anything that conflicts with that is unlawful and illegal. And no military officer or enlisted person, whether in the militia, whether in the National Guard, whether in the Army, Air Force, Marines, or Navy, should ever follow an illegal or unlawful order. In fact, it is expressly forbidden. It is against the law. It is against the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The militia cannot be used to do anything that subverts or goes against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights or the Constitution of the state in which the militia is formed. Also, for a militia to exist, a governor does not have to call them up, and neither does the president. As I revealed to you last night, the militia is the whole of the people. The militia always exists. The militia is always there. The militia may call itself up to overthrow a despotic government if they attempt to enslave the people. The militia is sworn or affirmed to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the state wherein it exists. Anything that goes against the Constitution of the state wherein the militia exists or the Constitution of the United States of America is subversive and treasonous. It then falls upon the militia to execute the laws of the Union and restore the supreme law of the land. So all you poor little legal experts out there who don't know your ass from a hole in the ground and aren't listening to me when I'm trying to teach you something, you had better get your head screwed on straight. No military person, whether he be or she be in the militia, in the National Guard, or in the regular Army, Air Force, Marines, or Navy, can ever be forced or made or ordered to carry out anything illegal or unlawful. And if they do, they are co-conspirators or are just as guilty of treason and subversion as those who gave the order. And you had better understand that, especially if you're in the military service now and you are ordered to go against the militia or the people of the United States to subvert this country and our Constitution and place us under the rule of the United Nations, we will then be forced to kill you in defense of our country, of our Constitution, and in support of our sacred oath. And with me, folks, it is a sacred oath. Don't go away. I'll be right back after this brief pause.
I was in a rage, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. I'm afraid that you don't understand. Before you ask some girl for a handout, keep your freedom for as long as you can. My mama told me, you better shop around.
Thank you.
better shop around.
Oh, don't make up my mind, did you? Oh, no, cause I don't wanna be a witcher. Oh, mom, before you let a whole world decide, a day in LA should be long enough. Oh, mom, before you let a man in my son, on the summer.
Oh, yes, racists all over America are smashing their shortwave radios to smithereens. They can't stand it. I love it. And it's not just white racists. You know, there are Oriental racists, and there are Jewish racists, and there are American Indian racists. There are racists, and raving idiot racists, and thirsty racists. They'll all go out and have a drink when this is over. It's going to be slow torture, though, because we have another half hour to go. What do you think about that? Anything at all? CAGI membership is open once again, folks, and here's how it's going to work. If you've already sent in requesting information on CAGI membership, you'll get your information, but if you want to cut the process short, here's what you can do. We have sat down and we figured out what was wrong before and why we were getting some flakes in our organization, and we figured out how to cut that out. We're only interested in serious people, and those serious people will be rewarded for their work and for their membership quite handsomely over a period of time, I would say. Membership. If you wish to join CAGI, which will, beginning at the end of this month, heretofore be known as the Intelligence Service. The Intelligence Service, the name will change from CAGI, from the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, to simply the Intelligence Service, or IS. If you wish to join the Intelligence Service, send $100 per person. That's your membership fee. If you wish a family membership, in other words, you want your whole family to become a member, or members, I should say, family membership is $150, irregardless of the number of members of your family. Now, that's a pretty good deal. We didn't have family memberships before. See, flakes won't put out $100 or $150, and that's exactly the way we want it. We don't want them. Period. Those who become members of CAGI will be required to take an oath. As soon as we receive your membership fee, we will send you an oath, which you must take in front of a notary public, and it must be notarized that you did, in fact, take this oath administered by the notary public, and this must be returned to us. You may keep a copy for yourself. We must have the original. If you read the oath and decide you do not wish to take the oath, and you can either swear or affirm, makes no difference to us, both are legally binding, then you may return the blank paper to us, and we will refund 100% of your money. I think that's very plain. For those who return the oath notarized that it was administered, we will then send you your full membership package. If you decide that you wish press credentials, which will get you into a lot of places, folks, believe me, I know, I use them all the time. We have had CAGI members sit in on presidential and vice presidential press conferences. I was at Waco in the press conferences there, and many, many other places. And I can assure you that the press credentials are well worth it if you use them for what they're intended to be used for, not for football games or basketball games. In fact, it will state upon your press pass that those functions are expressly forbidden to our members for use of press credentials. You want to go to a football game, you pay for it. Don't involve us in the emperor's circus. We're not interested in that, and you shouldn't be either. If you wish press credentials, send an additional $100 per person who wants the press credentials. The press credentials will be good for as long as you are a member of CAGI, and you can renew your membership every year if you wish. Renewal fees will be less than the initial joining fee, although we have not arrived at that figure yet. If you allow your membership to expire, or if your membership is terminated for any reason, you must return your press credentials to us. When your press credentials are returned, we will refund to you $50. That will be held on deposit to guarantee the return of our press credentials. If press credentials are not returned, you will forfeit that $50. And I don't care if you raise hell. I don't care if you complain to the Better Business Association. I don't care if you sue us until you're blue in the face. You will not get your $50 back if our press credentials are not returned. That means if you lose them, you forfeit your $50. We ain't playing no games here. In return, folks, we will make information available to you that you will not get anywhere else. We will also make the lowest prices available to you on everything that we have to offer, including food storage and everything else, just like we always have. Those of you who have been listening to this broadcast know that if you had been CAGI members a long time ago, you would have saved an awful lot of money. An awful lot of money on purchases that you've made since we terminated CAGI membership due to problems caused to us by a few stupid flakes. It's the only word I can put to it. Most CAGI members are good people that caused us no problems whatsoever. Have also contributed tremendous amounts of information effort, and some of them have taken great risks on behalf of our organization to furnish intelligence. We will also, from this day forward, furnish raw intelligence and analyzed, assessed intelligence to bona fide legal units of the militia. If you have a militia unit and wish to receive intelligence from the intelligence service, you need to contact us by mail. We will validate the legality or illegality of your militia unit. And if you are a legal unit of the militia and are well regulated as the law requires, we will then tell you how you can receive intelligence from the intelligence service. We're also going to be publishing a newspaper in direct competition with the Spotlight, ladies and gentlemen. Will not be weekly. We'll probably start off monthly or bi-monthly to begin with until we get the hang of producing a newspaper and meeting deadlines, and then we will see what we can do about producing it on a more frequent and regular basis. So if you've been waiting to join CAGI, you have just heard how you can do it and how you can short-circuit all the writing for information and everything like that. If you want to join, send $100 for individual membership or $150 for family membership right away. We will send off your oath. Once your oath has been executed and notarized, certified by a notary public that it was administered by him or her, and returned to us, the original, you make a copy and keep a copy. Then we will forward the rest of your membership package right away. And I have to tell you, folks, if you are a veteran or have served in any branch of the military service, please include a copy of your DD-214 when you apply for CAGI membership, and we will see about restoring your previous rank in the intelligence service, because we will function, ladies and gentlemen, from this point forward as the intelligence service of the militia of the several states of the United States of America. We don't have much time left, I can assure you. And as of this moment, folks, if North Korea does not allow the inspectors to inspect anything at any time that they want to, from this point forward, an invasion of Korea is imminent. Mm-hmm.
but I'm only human. You make mistakes too.
Okay, folks, from this moment until the end of the month, all 1993 audio tapes of the Hour of the Time are now on sale. For CADGY members, $4 per tape. For non-CADGY members, $5 per tape. This does not include the tapes in the Mystery Babylon series. We are going to retire the masters for the tapes for 1993 at the end of this month, and they will not be available after the end of this month. If you want tapes of any of the programs that we aired in 1993, you must order them now. Your order must be postmarked on or before the end of this month, on or before the last day of June. For CADGY members, they're $4 per tape. For non-CADGY members, they are $5 per tape. So, get with it right now. Also, we're putting the treason documents on sale as of this moment, folks. I told you we have to raise a bunch of money real quick. And this is one of the ways we're doing it. Treason documents. $58 for CADGY members, $68 for everybody else. They were $85 and $75. $58 for CADGY members, $68 for everybody else. The book, Behold a Pale Horse. My book, $20 for CADGY members, postpaid, $25 for everybody else. That's $5 off, folks. That's $5 off. Okay? Now, we're probably going to have some more things that we're going to put up for sale next week. And next week, we're also going to start the series on mind control, which we originally broadcast in 1992. In May or June, I believe, 1992, we originally broadcast a five-part series, 5 hours, on mind control in the United States of America. We're going to repeat that series with some update information beginning on Monday night. Make sure that you don't miss it. Now, for those of you who do not have our address, any time that you order anything from us, make all checks or money orders out to Annie, A-N-N-I-E. Don't make it complicated. Don't call and ask for a last name. It's simply Annie, A-N-N-I-E. The address is CAGI, C-A-J-I. And remember, at the end of the month, it will change to the Intelligence Service. CAGI, C-A-J-I, P.O. Box 1420. That's P.O. Box 1420. SHOWLOW, S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 8501. That's CAGI, C-A-J-I, P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. The address and the phone number of the research center here in Arizona will be repeated at the end of the show. After I sign off, after the end music is played out, then WWCR will give you our address and phone number where you can reach us. So, please don't hesitate to do that. The convention, remember, the CAGI convention for all CAGI members, either new or old, makes no difference, will be held in the first week of August, August 1st through the 5th. Gives you a weekend to get here, get settled in, and then we will have an intense program for 5 days. You can either come for part of it or all of it. You don't care. The price is the same. And then you will have a weekend in which to sort of rest up a little bit and then go back home. Also, all CAGI members, folks, will receive, all new CAGI members, not old CAGI members, but new CAGI members will receive a complete set of documents on parchment of the Constitution of the United States of America, the Declaration of Independence, and what's the other one? Of the Bill of Rights. For anybody else who wants these documents, this is for the whole set?
$1.60
each. Each of these documents, $1.60 each, printed as they really look on parchment, $1.60 each. So if you want all three, it's three times $1.60, and send those to Surplus and Stuff. Surplus and Stuff. If you don't know their number or address, call us after the show tonight or tomorrow, and we'll give you their address. I can't do it now because I'm running out of time. It's the Constitution of the United States of America, a separate document of the Bill of Rights, and a separate document of the Declaration of Independence, all on beautiful parchment, folks. They'll be sent to you folded with instructions how to iron them flat and frame them. And they are beautiful. I'm holding them in my hand right now. They are really beautiful. All new CAGI members will receive that complete set of documents with your membership and a bunch of other stuff. We're working to get the computer BBS back up online, and we may be connected to Linda Thompson's net. We don't know for sure. Depends upon some things that are in the fire right now, some irons in the fire, and some other things. But even if we're not, it doesn't matter. Our BBS has traditionally had the most, the best, and you can't go wrong if you've got a computer and a modem being a CAGI member. Due to recent legislation and proposed legislation controlling access to computer bulletin board systems and regulation of those systems and requirements of the government being able to tap into public systems, the BBS will be only available to CAGI members, nobody else. If you're not a CAGI member, you will not be able to log on to our bulletin board system. We will, hopefully, we've got all the software, we have the access point, everything. We will be connected to the internet if we can figure out how to make it all click together. I'm not a computer expert. If some of you out there are, and you plan on joining CAGI, maybe you might consent to be a sort of semi-absent sysop or something and help us out. Because when it comes to computers, folks, boy, every time I think I'm getting the hang of it, it rears up and kicks me in the face. So, don't forget, August 1st through the 5th, the CAGI convention. And it's really going to be something, folks. People are going to be talking about it for a long time, those who are lucky enough to attend. If you would like to make your reservation now, if you are a CAGI member, it's $100 for all 5 days. If you're not a CAGI member, $250. And that's per person, folks. If you are a new CAGI member under the new system and you have a family membership, your family fee for the whole family for attendance all 5 days will be $150, same as your CAGI membership. If you're not a CAGI member, there is no family fee for attendance. Each person pays $250. I don't care if you got 10 people in your family or one. If you're not a CADGI member, it's $250 for the 5 days. And you can come. If you are an employee of any government agency, any law enforcement agency, any military unit or organization, or if you report to any of those people, agencies, or organizations, you must declare so upon arrival. And if you do not, and try to cause us any problems in the future, your failure to declare your affiliations will negate any testimony that you might give. Not that anything illegal is going to happen here. It's not. But we know you sneaky bastards try to corrupt and bend and lie. And so you must declare any allegiance or employment or any affiliation that you have where you report to any of these government, state, local, military, law enforcement, I don't care what it is. You must declare it upon arrival. If you don't, then you just weren't here. And if you get on a stand and try to say you were, in light of this requirement, you will be lying because you weren't here. Okay, folks, that's it. Good night, I think. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. Hope to see you all here in August, irregardless of what you're affiliated with. If you're a trader now and you come to our CADGI convention, you might learn something that might get you back on the right side. So think about coming, but make sure you declare who you are when you get here. Good night, folks, and God bless you all.
Okay, here I go again. Okay? Whatever you say, you got it. That was beautiful. Who said that?
Yeah. And your laughter seems to fill the air. Ah, baby, a scent like perfume from your lovely hair. A scent that I do. Thank you.